Arise and shine, for your light has come. That's from Isaiah 60, and of course those words are the inspiration for the hymn that we sang as we gathered today. Epiphany is the season of light. In Epiphany, of course, we celebrate the light that shines in the darkness, and we also lift up the revelation of this light, which bathes all of humanity in God's love and grace. And this light is Christ. So, of course, at Christmas, we heard the story again of how Jesus was this poor child born in a cold and smelly stable, and that in the darkest night, Jesus was revealed. Jesus was revealed to be the Messiah. Revealed to who? To these cold and smelly shepherds. Jesus was revealed to be the one that the world had been waiting for. And then we have Epiphany. And at Epiphany, of course, we will hear again this story of how these wise ones came, guided by this shining star. Jesus again revealed, this time to pagan priests. Pagan priests. And he's revealed here to be the true ruler, the one true ruler of human hearts everywhere. So how is Jesus revealed today? Are we like the wise ones in our gospel text, looking diligently for signs of God's presence? Are we like they, desperate to see Jesus, no matter how long and uncertain the journey, or maybe because the journey is long and uncertain? What gifts will we lay before Jesus? Do we believe that Jesus is revealed today? And do we think that it matters? How is Jesus revealed? From Stories for the Journey, The Other Wise Man. In ancient Persia, there lived a man named Artaban. He was a tall, dark man with a robe of pure white wool thrown over a tunic of white silk, and a pointed cap rested on his flowing black hair. It was the dress of the ancient priesthood of the Magi. One December night, Artaban told his friends, "My three companions are watching at the ancient temple in Babylon. If the promised star appears, they will wait for me 10 days, and then we will set out together for Jerusalem to see and worship the one who will be ruler of Israel. I have sold all my possessions and bought these three jewels, a sapphire, a ruby, and a pearl, to carry them as tribute to the king." While Artaban was speaking, he thrust his hand into the folds of his garment and drew out three great gems, one blue as the night sky, one redder than a ray of sunrise, and one as pure as the peak of a snow mountain at twilight. As Artaban watched the eastern sky that night, a steel blue spark was born out of the darkness. It pulsated in the enormous vault as if the three jewels had mingled and been transformed into a living heart of light. "It is the sign," he said. "The king is coming, and I will go meet him." By nightfall on the 10th day, Artaban was only hours away from the temple where he was to meet his friends. Suddenly, his horse stood still before a dark object in the road. A man was laying there, moaning. Artaban's heart leaped. Was he to stay here and care for this dying stranger? What claim had this fragment of human life upon his compassion and service? The three wise men would go on without him. Could he risk the great reward of his faith for the sake of a single deed of charity? Holy God, he prayed, direct me in your holy path, the way of wisdom which only you know. Then Artaban dismounted and carried the man to the foot of a palm tree. Hour after hour, he labored to comfort and help the stranger. At last, the man's strength returned. To Artaban, he whispered, I have nothing to give you, only this. I am a Jew, and our prophets have said that the Messiah whom you seek will be born not in Jerusalem, but in Bethlehem. May God bring you safely to that place, because you have taken pity on me. Well, it was now way past midnight. The three wise men had gone on without Artaban across the desert. Artaban covered his head in despair. I must sell my sapphire to buy a train of camels and provisions for this journey. Artaban arrived in Bethlehem long after the three wise men had departed, after seeing the Christ child. He entered the open door of a cottage and found a young mother singing her baby to sleep. The woman told Artaban, Joseph of Nazareth took the child Jesus and his mother and fled away secretly in the night. Now suddenly there came the noise of wild confusion in the streets of the village and a cry, the soldiers of Herod, they are killing our children. The young mother's face grew white with terror. She clutched her child to her and crouched in the darkest corner of the room. Artaban went quickly to the doorway. The soldiers came hurrying down the street with bloody hands and swords. The captain of the guard approached, and Artaban said in a low voice, I am all alone in this place, and I am waiting to give this jewel to the prudent captain who will leave me in peace. The captain stretched out his hand and took the ruby. March on, he cried to his soldiers. There are no children here. Artaban again prayed, God, forgive me. Two of my gifts are gone. Shall I ever be worthy to see the face of the king? The woman, weeping for joy, said, Because you have saved the life of my little one, may God bless and keep you. May God's face shine on you and be gracious to you. May God look on you with favor and bring you peace. Artaban, the other wise man, traveled from country to country, searching for the ruler of all. And in all this world of anguish, though he found none to worship, he found many to help. He fed the hungry and clothed the naked. He healed the sick and comforted the captive. A lifetime passed. Worn and weary and ready to die, but still looking for the king, Artaban came for the last time to Jerusalem. Excitement was flashing through the city's crowds. Have you not heard what has happened? They asked Artaban. They are crucifying Jesus of Nazareth, who says he is the Son of God, the King of the Jews. Artaban's heart beat unsteadily. Have I come in time to offer my pearl as ransom for the king's life? He thought. Suddenly, a group of soldiers came down the street dragging a girl. She broke from her tormentors and threw herself at Artaban's feet. Save me, she cried. I am to be sold as a slave. Save me. Was this his great opportunity or his last temptation? Twice the gift Artaban had for God had gone to humans. He took the pearl from his cloak. Never had it seemed so luminous, so radiant. He laid it in the hand of the girl. This is your ransom. It is my last treasure, which I had kept for the king. While he spoke, a shuddering earthquake rocked the city and the sky grew dark. Artaban never knew that the curtain in the temple was ripped in two. A heavy stone fell and struck old Artaban. The girl bent over him, and she heard a voice coming through the twilight, like music from a distance. The girl turned to see if someone had spoken from a window, but she saw no one. Then old Artaban's lips began to move, and he answered weakly, "Not so, my lord. For when did I see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did I see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? When did I see you sick or in prison and come to you? Some 30 years I have looked for you, but I have never seen your face." The sweet voice came again, and again the girl heard it, very faintly and far away, but now she could come and understand the words. "Truly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of the least of these, you have done it to me." A calm radiance lighted the pale face of Artaban like the first ray of dawn on a snowy mountain peak. One long last breath of joy exhaled gently from his lips. Artaban had seen the face of the king his whole life long. Wise ones, may Christ be revealed our whole lives long. Amen.